Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This happened when I was working the closing shift at a Starbucks just off the freeway. One of those weird locations where everything else around is already shut down by 10. It was about 11:45 p.m. on a Tuesday. The lights inside were dimmed, machines cleaned, and chairs stacked. I was the only one left, waiting to lock up and run home. Suddenly, I heard the low rumble of an engine. A sleek, black SUV pulled up to the drive-thru. I figured it was someone running late, maybe a trucker or a road trip couple. But the windows of the car were pitch black, like illegal black tint, and the engine stayed running with no movement. It stayed like that for a few seconds, and I thought I should serve this person and call it a day. "Welcome to Starbucks. How can I help you?" I asked politely. After a pause, the speaker crackled. "One tall caramel bloodbath."
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It didn't register at first. I actually laughed. "I think you meant caramel macchiato, right?" Silence. No answer. Only a faint, rhythmic breathing through the speaker could be heard. I thought for a while and figured it was probably some teenager messing around. I waited for the SUV to go away, just like it came. But it didn't. It just idled. 5 minutes passed, then 10, then 15, but the car was still there. I turned off the headset and tried to focus on finishing up, but every few seconds I'd glance at the drive-through camera. The SUV never moved. No door opened, no window rolled down, just the purr of the engine lingered. By the time half an hour passed, I was genuinely freaked out. I decided to go outside and tell them we were closed. I stepped out into the parking lot, the cool air hitting me like a wall. I approached slowly. My nerves were spiking. As I got closer to the car, I noticed something on the glass. At first, I thought they were smudges, but then I realized what I was looking at. Bloody handprints smeared across the inside of every window. The back door window had the maximum amount of handprints. They looked like small hands, like a woman's, and some of the prints had dragged down. I was trying to make sense of all of that when all of a sudden, the SUV's tailgate popped open with a heavy thud. I immediately jumped back. My eyes went wide in shock and fear. I could feel the veins in my head boil up. There was a woman, bound in zip ties, duct tape across her face. Her body was covered in bruises. Her hands had no fingers. Her mouth was open in a scream, and her tongue had been cut out. She looked at me, eyes wide, tears streaming down her face. Never in my worst nightmare did I expect to come across a sight like that. She tried to say something, but the SUV's driver's side door opened, and a man stepped out. He was massive. He wore a long, dirty coat. His face, I'll never forget that face. He had a real human face stitched to his skin. Blood was streaming down his neck because of the poor surgery he performed on himself. You could literally see the seams. The lips were jagged and too wide. The eyes were black holes behind thin slits. He screamed at me, "Where's my order?" Before I could react, he grabbed my collar and yanked me toward the drive-thru window. I tried to fight back, but he slammed my head against the brick wall. Stars exploded in my vision. He shoved my face into the window, trying to force it through the narrow opening like he was trying to crush me between steel and glass. I used every ounce of panic-fueled strength I had to twist sideways and wriggle halfway inside. I got in somehow, grabbed the window lever, and tried to close it when he made another attempt to grab me. But this time, I trapped his arm between the frame. He screamed in rage. "What are you doing? Let me go! You don't know who you're messing with!" "I'm dialing 911. His hand was stuck, fingers jerking wildly, nails scratching the walls. He was putting all of his effort into freeing himself, but it all went in vain. I backed away and grabbed my phone, locking eyes with him as I talked to the emergency dispatcher. He was snarling, spitting through the window.
You're siding with the wrong one! She's not the victim! I am! She's the one who cheated on me! Come on, just let me go so I can explain!
You can explain everything to the cops! I backed farther into the store, waiting for sirens. I didn't take my eyes off him. When the cops arrived 10 minutes later, they had to tase him to get him off the window. I watched from his side as they pulled him down and wrestled him to the ground. The woman in the trunk, his wife, was barely conscious but alive. They rushed her to the hospital. Later that night, a detective gave me the details. The man had been on the run for 3 days. He'd beaten his wife nearly to death, cut out her tongue, and severed her fingers so she couldn't use a phone. He was planning to dump her body in a secluded area out of state. But I don't understand why he decided to make one final stop at Starbucks. The whole time he sat outside, she was in the trunk, bleeding, broken, still somehow alive. And that stupid joke, Carmel Bloodbath, that was an inside joke between him and his wife. A silly joke she used to tell during the Halloween season. He wanted her to hear it one last time before he finished the job. I quit Starbucks a week later. I can't look at an SUV the same way anymore. And I don't work alone at night. Not ever again. It was a Saturday afternoon in early October when my mom finally agreed to let me go into Starbucks by myself. I was 13, and while I usually waited in the car, that day she handed me her card and said,
"Go ahead, Ryan. Grab your usual. Just be quick, okay?"
It felt like freedom. I stepped inside, immediately welcomed by the familiar smell of coffee and pastries. The place was busy but calm. A few people on laptops, a couple having quiet conversations, soft music playing. I was charmed by the place. As I made my way to the counter, my eyes stretched to the far corner. Seated perfectly still near the trash cans was a man in a cake pop costume. At first, I thought it was some sort of promo. The costume was round, pink, and oversized like a lollipop with fake sprinkles on top. But something was off. The pink coating was cracked and crusted in places. The stick end of the costume was frayed and dirty. And the sprinkles? They looked like they were sewn on with what I swear were strands of hair. No one else seemed to notice him. I looked at the baristas. They smiled at other customers, chatted. Not a single glance toward the man in the corner. It was like he didn't exist. I shuffled forward in line, trying not to stare. When it was my turn, I ordered a cake pop and a hot chocolate. I found a table near the front window and sat down. That's when I realized the man was waving at me. His gloved hand moved sideways, slowly. He even crooked his fingers, motioning me to come over. But I obviously ignored it. I didn't move. But a few seconds later, he stood up. His costume squeaked against the floor as he walked toward me. There was no sound of his footsteps, only soft squeaking and the dull tap of his fake cake pop stick hitting the tiles could be heard. He crouched beside my table and leaned in to talk. His breath smelled like moldy sugar.
"I've got a secret menu," he whispered. "Want to try the real flavor?"
I nervously laughed and shook my head.
"No thanks, I'm good."
He stared. His eyes were freaky, a little yellowish tint with red veins popping around the eyeball. It felt like he was staring into my soul. He slowly reached into the side of his costume and pulled out a small cake pop wrapped in wax paper.
"This one's special,"
he said, placing it on the table.
"Limited edition, for good boys only."
I nodded slowly, not saying anything back. He patted my head like I was a dog and turned around, waddling back to his corner. I grabbed the treat and bolted out as soon as my name was called for the order. I didn't look back. By the time I got in the car, I had calmed down a little. I didn't tell Mom, because I'm not a toddler, and I didn't want to miss out on opportunities to do things on my own. I shrugged it off like it was some awful dream. When we got home, I went straight to the backyard with my hot chocolate and snack. I sat near the garden, unwrapping the cake pop I had ordered and placing the weird one beside me on the grass. I was enjoying the Starbucks cake pop when a stray cat wandered in. He was small, dirty, and missing part of an ear. This wasn't the first time I had seen him in the neighborhood. I broke off a piece of my regular cake pop and tossed it to him. He sniffed it, then looked at the one sitting in the wax paper. I thought this was the right way to find out what that man gave me, so I tossed the suspicious cake pop to the cat. Deep down, I prayed it to not be poisonous, because I didn't want to kill the poor cat. After a second, the cat started licking the odd cake pop's candy coating. As it licked, I could see joy in its eyes, like he had found his taste.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Just when I was thinking the person did give me a tasty treat, which I fed to the cat, I noticed something weird. As the candy layer melted under the cat's tongue, something wet and shiny peeked through. The cat licked again, harder this time. Suddenly, a flap of pink icing peeled off, and beneath it rested an eye. I'm not sure if it was a human eye or an animal one, but it still had veins and flesh stuck on it like it had been ripped out with force. I screamed and kicked the thing. The cat hissed and ran away. I stared at the deformed candy lying in the grass. The candy coating had fallen away, revealing bloodshot veins and part of a pale socket. Running back inside my house, I told my mom everything. At first, she didn't believe me. Then she saw how pale I was, how my hands wouldn't stop shaking. She called the cops. They came that night and took the eye with them. I never found out what they did with it, never heard if they tested it or if they found out who it belonged to. But here's the part that still chills me to this day. A week later, I overheard my mom on the phone with somebody. She thought I was asleep. She said the police reviewed the Starbucks security footage. The man in the cake pop costume never appeared on the camera. Not once. Just me, ordering, waiting, sitting. And then I ran out, like I saw a ghost. They searched the store, the alley, and even the trash bins. No costume, no man, no evidence. But a few days after that, a news report came out. Two children from a nearby town are missing. The only clue found at the scene? A cake pop stick left on the windowsill of one of their bedrooms, blood on the end. There was a human hair tangled in the candy coating. I haven't eaten a cake pop since. Every now and then when I walk by a Starbucks, I still glance inside, just to make sure he's not sitting in the corner. I work a desk job at a finance firm, and every day at 12:30 p.m. I take my lunch break. I just go for a walk, enjoy the fresh air, and order something from the Starbucks across the street. This practice has become a routine that makes me feel good. Mostly, I take lots of almond milk in my big vanilla cold drink with a spinach, feta, and egg white wrap. Yes, I like to stay healthy because I hardly get the time to hit the gym. Anyways, this routine was continuing smoothly until last Wednesday. When I walked into the Starbucks, I found the barista had already prepared my order, and it was ready on the counter. I was pleased to see that for once. The staff had spelled my name right. I paid, and just as I was about to grab my food, I heard a voice from behind. It was the voice of a male in his late 30s. The man said, "Hey, I'll have what she's having." I turned around and saw this tall guy in worn-out jeans and a pink hoodie that was all creased up. He looked odd. His rough beard hinted that he hadn't shaved in a while. I wondered if he had bathed in days because a reeking smell hit my nose as soon as he got closer. And above all that, his smile creeped me out because it never reached his eyes. He kept staring at me. I frowned and turned away, thinking it was just a malicious attempt to pick me up. As I walked past him, he said something that made me very uncomfortable. You smell like fear and cinnamon. I didn't answer. I left right away, quickly. There weren't many people in the parking lot outside. When I opened the door to my car and turned the corner, I saw him again. The same man was now standing 5 feet away from me with two brown paper bags in each hand. He didn't say anything, just had his head tilted like a curious dog and watched. Then he yelled, "Don't be scared! You have such lovely skin!" And they started smiling. I was so stunned that for a minute my body forgot to respond to this upcoming threat. I should have gotten into my car and locked the door, but occasionally when you're too scared, you end up freezing. Your mind stops thinking straight, and you just surrender to danger, thinking you've no way to survive. That's exactly what happened to me. I could see him walking towards me. My body screamed,
"Get in! He's coming!"
But I couldn't move. I could feel my palms sweating and my legs numbing as he looked me in the eye and kept coming closer. When he was just inches away, I heard a car horn from a distance. I sprinted into my car and locked the door. I was shaking while trying my best not to cry. He crouched down to my window and said, "I'm not going to hurt you. I brought you a gift." I screamed at him,
"Leave me alone."
But he still stood there. Then he reached for the paper bag he was holding and grasped a handful of something. I couldn't see what it was until he placed it on my windshield. It was a thumb, a severed thumb with red nail paint on it. I screamed and began calling the cops when he spoke to me one last time. "Don't you feel lucky? This could have been you." Saying this, he walked off. When the cops came and took the thumb as evidence, they told me I might have come across a very dangerous person. I couldn't sleep for a few days after that. I kept going back and forth between the curtains and the locks. I even moved to a different Starbucks across town. But my chest got tight every time someone stood behind me. I couldn't get rid of the thought that he let me live on purpose. A few days later, the story hit the news. A story that just broke on Channel 5. A man was caught at a rest stop in a different state. There were brown paper bags in his trunk. Each one had body parts in it. They named him the Copycat Killer. He stalked women at cafes. He would order exactly the same thing as them, follow them, and then attack. Investigators revealed that a total of 5 women were killed. One had her eyes gouged out. Someone else had a thumb chopped off. They showed his face. He wore the same hoodie and had that same creepy, meaningless smile. I looked at the screen in fear. My hands were shaking, realizing I did dodge a bullet. Watching his remorseless face was enough to make me stay home for a week, but the end of the news story was what petrified me.
Authorities believe he had selected his next victim, but for some unknown reason, he did not harm her.
He had my drink in his car with my name printed on it. I should have been dead that day, but then why did he let me go? The nightmares haven't gone away to date. His voice keeps roaming in my head. "You smell like fear and cinnamon." I tried to make sense of it, but nothing comes to my mind. The police say he never brought me up while being questioned. Even if they asked him about me, he would just smile. I sometimes wonder if letting me go was just part of his plan, like a shooter leaving one deer alone so it can remember and tell the tale of horror.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Since then, I've moved. I even changed my name, but I still want that vanilla cold brew every once in a while. I drive an hour to get there, pay cash, and never use the app. I just hope he stays behind bars forever, because I don't think I'll be lucky twice.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.